Well, good morning, Red Chapel. Thanks for joining us live online this morning. I know this is a little bit different, but due to the situation that's happening around the world, we still wanted to be able to spend time together this morning. So before I get started this morning, first off, I wanted to recognize our team that has worked tirelessly the last couple of days. For the first time this morning, we are able to go live online and still have a worship experience. Now, this was something that we were planning on being able to do and have the capacity to do the weekend after Easter. But with the events that's happened, we've had to speed that up. And so I just want to say thank you to all those that have been involved in really pushing this ahead and making this possible this morning, that wherever you're at this morning, some of you may still be in bed. You decided not to wake up early this morning. So you may be in bed having breakfast this morning, wherever you're at. I'm just excited that we're together still this morning. Although we're not together in person, I'm believing that we're together in spirit. And I felt strongly that we're in this series right now that I feel like God had given me to share with us as a church. And so I just wanted to continue that this morning. So we're in this series called Legacy. And if you were with us last week, we kicked off last week and we were talking about building a foundation for the future. And how that in order to have a lasting legacy, we have to start by thinking beyond now. Right? We talked about this last week, thinking beyond today. And then to take it a step further, we discussed that we need to be enacting a plan, right, for the future. And I'm not just talking about our future and in our lifetime. I'm talking about thinking and forecasting beyond our lifetime, about generations that are going to come after us, not just living for the moment. And in order to leave behind a lasting legacy, we have to reject the type of thinking that is self-centered and short-sighted. And we all know what that looks like, right? When we're living for right now. In fact, as children, our mind's capacity is actually limited in its ability to think beyond the moment, about thinking beyond right now. And so there's this famous test. It's called the marshmallow test. I brought some marshmallows to share this morning. It's called the marshmallow test. And it's a test where kids are actually given a marshmallow by an adult, and it's put in front of them, and the adult will tell them that they have two choices. They can eat that marshmallow that's in front of them right now, or they can wait until the adult comes back in the room, and if they wait, they'll receive two marshmallows. Well, you can imagine what happens. Just about every single child decides to eat the one marshmallow. And I think sometimes we're just like that, and that we live for now instead of living for later. And so we lose out on the great rewards, including the reward of leaving a great legacy. And today we're talking about living beyond me. So I want to transition this morning from just living beyond today, living beyond now. And I want to talk today about living beyond me, because just like we often live for now, the truth is we often only live for ourself. If you have small children, like we did a few years ago, you know that they're usually all about me, right? They don't care that there's other kids in the room that want to play with those toys. It's all about me. It's mine, mine, mine. It's about me, me, me. And I think in many ways, we really never outgrow that. And sometimes we're just like big children in that it's all about me. And so we make deposits, we make investments for our own benefit, whether that be financial deposits and investments or whether that be non-material deposits and investments. We invest a lot of the times our energy, our resources, our time into things like our appearance, into becoming a person of status. And so we try to accumulate money, accomplishments, respect, like everything revolves around me. And here's the deal. There's nothing wrong with investing in yourself. In fact, I think it's critically important that you invest in you. You want to invest in you, but not only invest in you. And so this morning, I wanted to draw from a story that happened when Jesus was ministering and traveling in the world. And it's found in Luke chapter 5. It says, one day while Jesus was teaching, some Pharisees and teachers of the religious law, they were sitting nearby, and the scripture says that the Lord's healing power was strong with Jesus. And he goes on to say that some men came and they're carrying a paralyzed man on a sleeping mat, and they tried to take him inside to Jesus. And that they couldn't reach him because of the crowd. And so they went to the top of the roof and they took off some tiles, and then they lowered this sick man, this friend of theirs, they lower him on this mat down into the crowd right in front of Jesus. I want you to picture this with me this morning. Like, I know we're not in person, but could you imagine if we were together at Red Chapel this morning, all of a sudden some of the tiles on the roof started coming off, and all of a sudden there's this sick, paralyzed man that's being lowered down in front of the stage. And imagine Jesus was teaching. There's crowds of people. In fact, it's so crowded they can't get in the front door, but they were determined to get this man help. And so they lower him down right in front of in the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. And watch this. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the young man, he said, "Young man, your sins are forgiven you." Now, if you read on further, you know that Jesus is there. He's with a lot of religious leaders, and immediately they begin to question Jesus' authority to forgive sins. And so that's part of the story. But if you kind of skip past all of that, Jesus then, he turns to the paralyzed man. Now remember, he's already told him, he said, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And now he says to this young man, he says, "I want you to stand up, pick up your mat, and go home." And watch this next verse. Immediately, as everyone's watching, the man jumps up, he picks up his mat, and he runs along praising God. And everyone around, they were gripped with great wonder and awe, and they began to praise God, exclaiming, "We have seen amazing things today." This is an incredible story that's recorded for our history. Here's this man, he's unable to walk, he's paralyzed, and his friends are investing their time, they're investing their energy, their resources, everything they have, they're investing it into their friend, and particularly to bring him to Jesus. And the results were incredible. And here's the deal, their stories are recorded in Scripture forever. You talk about leaving a lasting legacy. A couple thousand years later, on this Sunday morning in 2020, we are sharing the story, their legacy, of them thinking beyond me. This is what it looks like to build a legacy that will outlast your life. And so the story of the friends who brought their friends to Jesus, it shows us not only that this is the case, but it tells us, if you read into this, it shows us how we too can do the same thing as we want to leave a lasting legacy, a legacy that will outlast our time here on earth. So if you want to get the maximum return on your life, hear me this morning, invest in people. Invest in people. And real estate, they say real estate's about three things. You've heard this before. Location, 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 right? And at Red Chapel, we've kind of adapted that into our mantra. And we say Red Chapel is about three things. We say Red Chapel is about people, people, people. People, people, people. Because the only thing of all that you can see in the world that will last forever is people. And so living beyond me and investing in people, this is what will yield a return that will last for eternity. And so I want to, for just a few more moments this morning as we're together, I want to share with you three ways that I believe you can leave a lasting legacy. If you'll begin to think beyond, not only beyond right now and today and think into the future, but if we can set aside some of our self-centered thinking that I think we all deal with at times, and if we can start thinking beyond me. And here's the first one. If you're taking notes this morning, I want you to write this down, or maybe you're typing some notes this morning. Number one is just to simply start to look around. To look around. That's where we'll start. We'll start with look around. Living beyond me, investing in others, it starts with looking around. We need to take note of the people that God has put in our lives and what their needs are. Most of you probably are aware of Braille. Right? This is the system of raised dots that helps blind people read and write. You may or may not know the history of where Braille came from. It was a man by the name of Louis Braille. He was born in the early 1800s in France, and an early accident in his life left him blind. And so he went to school, a school for the blind in Paris, France. And while he was there, he learned about this system of reading and writing that had been developed by this French army captain. And so Louis made some changes. He made these big improvements to the system, and later this would become known as Braille. And so Louis was happy. I mean, can you imagine now being able to see? And so he's happy that made it much easier for him to read and to write, but he also realized that at the school that he's at in Paris, that all his classmates, that they needed to experience this as well. And so he gave it to them, and they liked it. But then he realized it wasn't just his classmates, but there was a whole lot of other people in the world who they also were blind, and he wanted to be able to help them too. So the director of his school actually wrote to the French government about it. And Louis sought to introduce it to the public so that all blind people, not just Louis, not just his classmates, but so that blind people all around the world would be able to use the system of Braille. And it was after he died that his writing system was made the system of reading and writing for all blind people worldwide. And today, many blind people are actually benefiting from it. What a legacy. What a legacy. Louis Braille, he built a great legacy. Why? Because he learned to live beyond me. He wasn't just focused on himself and the issues that he was facing in life. Think about it, it'd be so easy to become so self-absorbed when dealing with these kind of difficulties. But Louis Braille looked beyond me. He looked beyond himself. And he did that by looking around and seeing the needs of others. He didn't just help himself, but he helped others. Louis Braille was blind, but he had better spiritual vision, I think, than many of us even have today. See, most of us this morning, we can see physically, but honestly, ask yourself this morning, do we really look around and see the needs of others as Louis did? Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2, he admonishes, he says, don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. What if you did that this morning, wherever you're at this morning? What if you just took a moment and you actually looked around? You looked around. And I don't mean just looking around your home this morning or the breakfast table or wherever you're at. But what if you took a moment this morning and you just started looking around at the people that God had placed in your path? Maybe it's people you work with. Maybe it's people you're on campus with. Maybe it's people you're working out with. Wherever it may be, people that God's placed you in their lives. Have you ever stopped to just look around and to take notice of people's needs? Like who around you in proximity to you this morning, who's struggling right now? Who do you know right now in your life that could use some support this morning? Who do you know that could use an encouraging text or an email or a simple phone call? Those are the kind of questions that we need to be asking ourselves. And I know it's hard because we're so busy investing in us, but we need to give some of the time that we might otherwise have spent investing in others to thinking about what the needs are among the people that God has put in our life. And then how can we respond to those needs? So looking outside, instead of always looking introspectively, what if you just took a few moments throughout the day and you just simply began to look around? I know what would happen. As you begin to look around, it's actually overwhelming. As you really alertly begin to look around, you will notice that there are needs all around you every single day. In fact, I know the more that I do this, it gets to the point where it's overwhelming. Really. You feel like there's so, you look around at the people that you work with, the people that you're going to school with, the people that you see on a daily basis, maybe people that you run into at the grocery store. You realize if you really start to look around, you'll notice that the needs are so overwhelming. In fact, to the point that I think it can actually handicap us sometimes. We too can become paralyzed by the amount of needs that are surrounding us every day. And so this is why it's important. I want to share with you a second point this morning is not only do I want you to look around, but I want you to focus. And I actually want you to find an opportunity. That's what the people, these friends of this paralyzed man did in the story, is they knew there was need. I guarantee you that day that their friend was healed, I assure you there were probably plenty of people that day that needed to be healed. There were probably people that were blind. We know from stories of Jesus and history and you read through the Gospels, we know that Jesus was healing people on a consistent and constant basis. In fact, at the end of the book of John, it tells us that there were so many miracles that Jesus did that they couldn't be recorded in all of the books of the library of the world. And so we know there was ample amount of need. If you would have looked around that day, there were plenty of people that had a need, but they decided that they were gonna focus on one opportunity. And here's what I love about this story, is they made it a point that, no, they wouldn't be able to get everybody into the house that day. But this one friend, they took all their time and invested all their resources and all their energy to making sure that this one person, that their life would forever be changed that day. And look at the great strides that they went to. They get to the house is crowded, there's no way to get them in through the front door, but they're determined, they're determined. They are focused on an opportunity. I want you to catch this morning. There are people in your lives, if you look around, there's all kinds of needs. And I'm not asking you to change the entire world. I'm not asking you to fix everybody. I'm not asking you to help everyone. But what if you went to the extent that these men did with just one person, just one coworker, one family member, one colleague? What if you went to the events that they went to, that they get to the house is crowded, there's no way in, but they are so determined. They're so determined that they climb up on top of the roof. They pull the shingles, the tiles off of that roof and go to these types of measures to make sure that this man that day, that this one person that day, that his life would forever be changed. In fact, Jesus sees the faith of these people. It's not the faith of the man that's paralyzed. It's the faith of his friends. And because of their faith, Jesus decides to heal him that day. What would have happened? What would happen in your environments this next week, if you had this type of faith, that you were so determined that you find one person? I know there's probably plenty of people you work with that probably have a lot of things going on in their life. I mean, we're dealing with a worldwide epidemic this morning as we're speaking with this coronavirus. I know there's a lot of people that are full of anxiety and fear, and I know this has a lot of pressure on people's lives. So what if when you went to work tomorrow morning, just one person, just one? Imagine the difference that you can make in their life if you focused on just one opportunity. Andy Stanley, he's one of my favorite pastors. I love, he's an incredible Bible teacher. And he said something a few years ago, and I've tried to kind of make it a mantra in my life. He says, do for one what you wish you could do for everyone. And this stuck with me because as I begin to look around, I see that there's so many people. The needs are insurmountable. They're overwhelming. And you want to help everyone. And the truth is, you may not be able to do that, but you can do for one. You can do for one. I'm talking about not just looking around and noticing that there's a need, but I'm talking about going deep where maybe it's somebody that this morning, you know, there's somebody that's dealing with some really serious issues in their life. Maybe they have some relationship trouble. And I'm not saying that you just simply send them a text or a phone call. I'm saying you're sitting down and you're having a meal together with them. You're taking time every week and you're praying together with them. The Bible says that we're to rejoice with people that rejoice, and we're to weep with people that weep. That we're called to bear one another's burdens. I'm not talking just flippantly giving them some marriage advice. I'm talking about where you get into the trenches with somebody and you focus on one opportunity. Imagine the life change that could take place if you just focused on one. On one. I know this can happen because this is what happened for me. I remember I grew up at a church right here in Fontana. It was a small church. I think there was maybe 75 or 100 people that were members of the church. And I had been a part of this church all my life. I was raised as a Christian in a Christian home. I remember when I got to the age of about 12 or 13 years old that I had started to stray away from God for a multitude of different reasons. But the truth is I found myself wandering away from God. I really didn't want anything to do with the church at this time. I didn't want to be there. I didn't want to be in service. I didn't want to be around. And I noticed myself drifting away from God. And I'll never forget, there were two men in that church, and I wanted them to bring them with me this morning. I wanted to allow them, you know, meet them this morning, but because of the situation that we're dealing with, we weren't able to do that. But these men, one of his name was Julian, and the other one was named Manny. And Manny Rosales, I was friends with his son. He was the same age as mine, and Julian was his cousin. In fact, to this day, the reason that I'm a Raider fan is because for about 3 years, these guys literally took me into their life. I became like a part of their family. They were avid Raider fans. And so it's all their fault that to this day, and I'm a really loyal person, and to this day, I'm a Raider fan. It's all because of Manny Rosales and Julian Pinto. But that's not the only thing that they implemented into my life. Is through that period of about 3 years, they went deep with me. I would be over at their house. They would be spending time with me. They were investing. No one saw this, by the way. They didn't do this to the chagrin of anybody. This was most of this was done behind the scenes. I would be at their house, or we'd be over at a park playing sports together, and they would be through this next couple of years. They invested a ton of their they like took me on. I don't know if they meant to do it this way, but I became like their personal project, to the point that I became family with them. And over this time, they could see that I was drifting away from God. They could see that I was at a difficult place in my life as a teenager. And I'm sure there were probably moments that they got tired of me being around and dealing with my issues that I was dealing with at the time, but they never abandoned me. They poured into me constantly. I wanted them to be here this morning. I wish we could be together today. And I wanted them to see that those hours, those moments that they invested over that few years of a period of time, that they may have thought it wasn't doing anything, it wasn't working, it wasn't making a difference. But today, fast forward about 25 years later, and this morning, there's a church in Rancho Cucamonga, Red Chapel, as we know it this morning. There are hundreds of people over the last 9 or 10 years, hundreds of people that have given their life to Christ. We've watched miracles take place right here in Red Chapel. And I want you to know that's their legacy. That's their legacy. One day, I believe they're going to stand before God, and they've never even been to this church. They've never been here in person. They've never got to see what's happened. This is what happens when you're investing beyond me. A lot of times, you never even see the reward of what's happening in your lifetime. It could be a generation later. It could be a couple of generations later. We're seeing this. They just decided to find an opportunity. And little did they know that God would use them to use me to lead a church where hundreds, thousands of people now have come in contact with the gospel throughout the last few years at Red Chapel. And it was because somebody was willing to go the distance, to not just look around and notice this little rug rat of a teenager running around the church, but they noticed there was a young man that was going astray, and they invested their time, their energy, and their resources. And now this is a part of their legacy. I don't know that I would be here this morning, to be quite frank with you. I don't know that what's happening here at Red Chapel and Rancho Cucamonga, I don't know that would be happening this morning, fast forward 25 years later, if somebody had not noticed a need and taken the time, the energy, and the resources to come alongside me, not knowing that this would be a part of their legacy. So I'm challenging you to look around. Look around. Maybe there's a teenager that's part of your network, that you're in close proximity. Maybe it's one of your kids' friends and you've noticed that they're struggling. Wonder what would happen if you would stop in your busy schedule, focusing on you, trying to acquire and accumulate all of the things in life, trying to get ahead. What if some of that time that you spent on yourself, what if you chose to spend it on somebody else? The truth is, and this is my last point this morning, is we can make a difference. We can make a difference. That's the opportunity that we have. If you can learn to live beyond me, here's what will happen, is you too will be like Manny Rosales and Julian Pinto, that there will be a legacy, a trail of a legacy left behind, that you'll make a difference beyond anything that you could imagine. Beyond anything that you could imagine could happen through in and through your life, imagine the legacy that you could leave if you chose to make a difference. I mean, think about these friends of this paralyzed man. 2,000 years later, and today, we're still talking. In fact, we're using their acts of bravery, of selflessness. We're using that today as a launch pad to challenge ourselves in our world today to reach out and to help people and to make a difference. This is what they did. They took a risk. They believed for their friend. They believed that Jesus could and that he would help. And so they acted. They lowered their friend through the roof to Jesus that day. And as a result, they made a massive difference. And watch this. Not only did they make a difference in their friend's life, but the scripture tells us that that young man, he jumps up, he grabs his mat, and he runs out that day. And all the people around that day were astonished. They were amazed. You have to know that he ran back to his family. He ran back to his friends. They recognized him, and it was a man that was paralyzed, that couldn't walk. And now he's walking. He's jumping up and down. And you have to imagine the impact, the far-reaching impact that was made that day. As people all around his village, no doubt there were people that day that came to see what Jesus was all about. There were people that day that decided to be followers of Jesus because these friends decided to make a difference. To make a difference. This is what I'm talking about leaving a legacy that reaches far beyond. Man, this is what happens when you look around and you find an opportunity and then you act on it. I want to share with you a story as we're coming to a close this morning. There's a story that goes that there was once a school teacher, and his name was Edward Kimball. And probably most of you have never even heard of him, but he was a Sunday school teacher. He taught the boys in his class. He tried to bring young people to Jesus. And one young man seemed particularly hard to reach, but Edward Kimball believed God for this young man's life. And so Edward, he would go to the shoe store where this young man worked, and he would find an opportunity while the young man was working in the stock room, and he began to share Christ with him. And eventually, this young man came to put his trust in Jesus. And many have never heard of Edward Kimball, but some of you have heard of the young boy. His name was Dwight L. Moody. And he became a preacher who touched two continents for God with thousands of people professing Christ through his ministry. In fact, one of the people who was moved by Moody's preaching was a man by the name of Wilbur Chapman. And Wilbur Chapman became an evangelist, and he preached to thousands of people. There was another man by the name of Billy Sunday. You may have heard that name. He was a former baseball player. And he became the assistant to Wilbur Chapman. And he helped organize all these evangelistic meetings for Wilbur Chapman. And so Billy Sunday, he held an evangelistic campaign in Charlotte in the year 1924. And out of those meetings grew what was called the Billy Sunday Layman's Evangelistic Club. And this was a men's prayer and breakfast fellowship. And this group was instrumental in inviting and setting up the evangelistic meetings of a man by the name of Mordecai Ham in Charlotte around the year of 1934, 10 years later. During those meetings, a young man received Christ. And you might not know the name Mordecai Ham, who was hosting the evangelistic meetings that day, but you surely would know the name of the young man that received Christ in the meeting that night. It was a man by the name of Billy Graham. Yeah, Billy Graham. He's one of the greatest evangelists that the church has ever had. He preached all over the world. It's estimated that 2.2 million people responded to his invitation to receive Jesus. And it all started with the Sunday school teacher who looked around. He saw a need of a young man. Found an opportunity to meet that need. He acted on that. And Edward Kimball, he changed the world. He literally changed the landscape of the world today. And you too, you can make a difference by looking around, by finding an opportunity and making a difference. Just like Edward Kimball, even small, listen to me this morning, even small acts of depositing into and investing into others, it'll make a difference, not only in this life, but even more importantly, in the next life. And some of you, you are investing in the lives of others every day. And it may not necessarily draw any attention to you. You may be caring for children, you're seeking to serve your family, or you're looking for opportunities maybe in what you may think are minuscule ways to meet the needs of those that are around you. I want you to know this morning that you're making a difference. You may never ever see in this world the reward of your efforts, but just know this, that you're making a difference. And it may be in a generation to follow. It may be as in Edward Kimball's place. It may be 10, 20, 30, 40 years from now. It may be outside of your lifetime. But just know that if you are living beyond me, that these small acts of service, they're making a difference. They're making a difference. Growing up, there was a Christian song, and it kind of hit the circuit. It became really popular. It was simply called Thank You. And sometimes you won't know the impact that you've had by believing and investing in a person's life until heaven. And the song that came out is by Ray Bolts. And in the song, the guy who's singing, he dreams of going to heaven. And he finds himself walking with somebody that he had apparently known while on earth. And people kept coming up to this person in his song that he's walking with, and they're thanking him constantly, like person after person they come. They're thanking him for how he had invested in them while he was here on earth. And in one of the verses, a young man, he comes up to him and he says, "Friend, you may not know me now." But then he said, "But wait, you used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. And every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. One morning, when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus into my heart." And he goes on to write, he said, "Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave." The song goes on. It said, "Then another man stood before you and said, remember the time that a missionary came to your church. His pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. And Jesus took the gift that you gave. And that's why I'm here today." And I believe this. I believe this, that you'll never truly see the entirety of the result of the harvest of the seeds that you are sowing into the lives of others until the other side of eternity. I believe one day when we get to heaven, that God will open up our eyes and allow us to see that those small investments, those small deposits into the lives of others, those moments that we decided to think outside of just me, to thinking beyond me, those moments when we got outside of our self-absorbed world and we took the interest of others more seriously, that there's coming a day we're gonna see the result. We're gonna see the far-reaching impact that we were able to have of living beyond me, because believing for and investing in people makes a difference. In fact, I dare say this morning, it's the best investment that you can make. It's the best investment you can make is an investment into people. You talk about return on investment. This type of investment will have eternal returns. You won't fully see the returns until heaven. You never know who you're helping. You never know what they're going to do, but you can know that your help, your investment in them will make a difference. It'll make a difference. I want to challenge you to look around. Look around. Just look around. There's needs everywhere. If you're a member of Red Chapel, would you look around in the coming days, in the coming weeks, as you're around this community of believers, would you look around? Would you look around? I'm sure if you haven't noticed, you go into some of our kids' environments, and there's always a need. We're always looking for people to help in our kids' environments, whether it's a teacher, maybe it's an assistant, it's somebody that's leading snack time, or maybe you're in charge of crafts. Look around. There's needs. There's needs. Everyone challenged some of you even this morning. Maybe you're not involved in a ministry at Red Chapel. Imagine the difference that you could make if you decided to, on a Sunday morning, invest your time in the next generation. Who's to say the next Dwight L. Moody, the next Billy Graham is not sitting in one of our kids' environments on a Sunday morning? And if we're not careful, we can become so self-absorbed, so focused on us, we can miss out on an opportunity to leave a lasting legacy. Maybe you're the next Edward Kimball. Maybe nobody will ever know your name, but the person that you invest in, the time that you invest in another person, the next generation, what if they become the next world changer? That's a part of your legacy. That's the thing. That's the opportunity that we have this morning, is to leave a lasting legacy. One person said this: you make a living by what you get, but you leave a legacy by what you give. That's so true, ain't it? You make a living by what you get, but you leave a legacy by what you give. So maybe you don't know what to do next. You know the people maybe that God has put around you. He's calling you to believe for and invest in. And this morning I'm challenging you that now is the time to act. Maybe right now, sitting wherever you're at this morning, sitting on your couch, in your pajamas, maybe it's time right now to send that text to somebody that God's been speaking to you about. Maybe it's time to sign up for that ministry, to be a part of our greeting team, our hospitality team, be involved in some of our family ministries. And there's so many opportunities here at Red Chapel that you can be involved in pushing the gospel forward. Right now is the time. Maybe even right now this morning, God's speaking to you right now, and he's calling you to step outside of your comfort zone, to stop being focused on just me, and God's calling you to invest in someone and something else. Something that's gonna reach far beyond you, something that's gonna outlast you, something that's going to live on for eternity. You have the opportunity to impact the future. You have the opportunity to leave a lasting legacy. You build a legacy and an eternal investment portfolio by living beyond me, by living beyond self. So I want you to look around this morning, and I want to ask you, who are you believing for? Who are you believing for? Who's your paralyzed friend? They may not be physically paralyzed, but who's that person around you this morning that's paralyzed by life, paralyzed by situations and circumstances this morning, that's not allowing them to move forward, that's not allowing them to make any type of progress in their life? Who is that person this morning? Right now, I believe, even right now, that God's bringing people to your mind this morning. People that you know that are paralyzed. They're paralyzed by fear. They're paralyzed by anxiety this morning. They're paralyzed by a broken relationship. They're paralyzed by being in debt. There's all kinds of reasons why. And you know this morning, that person that God is bringing to your mind, who are you believing that Jesus this morning can heal, that Jesus can forgive? Who did he put in your life for you to invest in? Look around, look around, look around, and find an opportunity. I'm not asking you to fix everyone. I'm just asking you to find that person that the Holy Spirit right now is bringing to your life, and for you to find an opportunity and look specifically for ways for you to invest in that person. And then I'm asking you to act, to make a difference, to make a difference. Maybe there's somebody this morning right now that you know that is away from God, desperately needs Jesus in their life. What would it look like if right now you opened up your cell phone and sent a text message, encouraging them, letting them know God loves them, that God wants what's best for them? What it would look like if you invited them to church? Maybe it's not even in our building. Maybe next week we're still meeting and you're having a watch party. What would it look like if you invited them over to your home and you allowed the Holy Spirit to speak to them? What if that next Sunday or this week during one of your small groups was the week that they were lowered down into your home in the presence of Jesus and their life was healed and their life was changed forever? Talk about a lasting legacy. You talk about an eternal return on investment. I want you to take a moment right now. Would you just close your eyes with me? Can we just take a moment together right now? I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask that the Holy Spirit right now, wherever you're at this morning, that he would begin to bring that person to your mind. Maybe he already has throughout the course of this sermon today. I'm going to ask you this morning to be sensitive to that person that God has placed in your life. As you look around, as you become aware this morning, there are people that are surrounding you every day that are desperately in need of Jesus. Now that you've been made aware of that person, would you make a concerted effort and a decision right now that you are gonna focus on that person, that is gonna be your opportunity, that you're gonna devote your time and your resources and your energy and doing everything possible, no matter what it takes, no matter how much opposition there is, no matter if there's no room, no matter if there's a crowd, no matter if there's a lot of people, no matter if there's a lot of distractions and it requires a lot of your energy, you're gonna tear the tiles off of the roof. You're gonna do whatever it takes to get them into the presence of Jesus. And you too can be a part of somebody's life being miraculously changed forever. Can we do that this morning? Can we do that this morning? Father, I'm just asking you this morning that you would help us. I know it becomes so easy and so natural, in fact, for us to become so self-absorbed, only focusing on us, focusing on our family and our needs and our desires to get ahead and to do better in life. But I pray this morning, as you've been speaking to our hearts, as you've made us aware, as we begin to look around, that there are needs surrounding us every day, and that we have the opportunity to be the hands and feet of your son Jesus to our world, that we too can make a difference, that we can make an investment, that we can make a deposit into somebody's life, that could forever alter eternity, that could change the entire landscape of not only them and their life and their future, but even generations to follow, that we can play a small part in what you are trying to do in this world, as you are trying to radically bring healing, forgiveness, life, and hope to the people around us. And this morning, we make this commitment today that those people that you are placing in our path, those people that you're bringing to our hearts and our minds this morning, that we will act, that we will make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for being with us this morning online at Red Chapel. I'm challenging you right now, whoever it is that you feel like God is speaking to you this morning, that you would go out of your way, even right now where you're at, or make it a point this week that you're going to make a difference. God bless.